Prepare yourselves, Bucs fans. Unleashed from the corporate shackles of the Tampa Tribune, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter is finally free to speak his mind. That's Ira Kaufman, the custodian of Canton himself. The Ira Kaufman podcast is presented exclusively by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa on Fletcher, just west of 275, and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Brandon's only luxury dealership. The best ever summer sale event is on now at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Turn up the volume, put up your feet. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on at JoeBucksFan.com.
Happy Tuesday here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, of course, featuring Ira Kaufman, the custodian of Canton. Ira, back to you. It's good to see you again. You look refreshed, as always.
One game's in the books, Steve. One game gone.
One meaningless game in the books. And, of course, also here with the other Joe, Lee DeCamper. Steve Isbitt's here with you. And you can just call us Lee and Steve today, Ira. You don't have to confuse us with Joe.
All right, I've been going from Joe to Steve and Lee, and your listeners don't know what's going on.
It's your trademark. It's fine.
There you go.
All right. Damar Dotson, right tackle. Turns 31 in October. Bucks just dropped $6 million a year on him. We're going to assume right now that it's maybe 1 year guaranteed, maybe a year and a half guaranteed. We don't know exactly. What do you think of this?
I'm gonna speak very selfishly here, Mr. DeCamper, and say from an Ira Kaufman perspective, this is a beautiful move. And the reason I say that is, number one, Dotson's a pretty solid player at right tackle. They did experiment a few years ago. After the Anthony Collins disaster, remember they moved him over to left tackle, and I don't think he can handle that on a long-term basis. But by what I mean by selfish, Steve, is he's a go-to guy in the locker room. And for your listeners who have never been in our spot, especially after a loss, and we've been through too many around here, you got to have those guys that you can go to because most of them at that point are on their phones. They're in the shower, they're unavailable, and they don't want to talk to you. And Dotson not only is available, but he's incisive. And he's not above saying, we stunk today. And from our perspective, Steve, you can't put a price on that.
And I just want to make it clear, we don't follow them into the shower. You know, just keep that clear.
I believe your listeners know that up front.
And so you're saying Vincent Jackson's not one of those guys? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not calling out Vincent Jackson, but after a loss... you know, your talent pool shrinks. There's shrinkage. There's major shrinkage. Speaking of showers.
I was waiting for you to go there.
So they, you know, but Dotson, you know, look, now he's been doing this a long time. Steve, he's the longest tenured Buck. Now, he didn't start, I don't believe, till 2011. But he's been here since 2009. Said he didn't have a pair of cleats when he walked in the room. And he's been a solid performer. Why they did this at this time is a little bit of a mystery that we can delve into at this time.
I'll go there with that, but real quick about Dotson and selfishly about him always being available with media. The offensive line in general is like that. It seems that, you know, they're always willing to talk, whether it be Hawley, whether it be Ellie Marpet, Donovan Smith. So we're lucky in that respect. The timing is odd because last year it was almost as if the Bucks were trying to push him off the roster. He only started three games. I understand he had a bum knee, but Charlis had replaced him. And it looked like Dotson's days were probably numbered. And Jason Light is a prove-it kind of guy. He did that with Doug Martin. Doug Martin he almost got rid of. He's like, you know, a prove-it contract. Martin proved it. So you're hearing all these accolades from Cutter about Dotson in training camp and Light the same way. So it's almost like, I guess he proved it to Light, he being Dotson, that, you know, let's keep this guy around.
What was surprising, look, Dotson's contract, Mark Dominic fleeced Dotson and his agent. You know, Dotson was on his second contract. He's getting paid like $1 million and low change.
For a starter.
For a starter or even just a good second-year contract in this league for a backup offensive lineman's at least a couple $1 million. So he got totally fleeced, and the Bucks had him on the cheap this year, and now they're re-upping him. I just think it's very surprising for a guy who is replaceable. That's how I view it.
And, you know, guys, let's be honest, right tackles, the difference between right tackles and left tackles, regardless of the quality of the player, there's an inordinate salary difference. And there always has been, and there always will be, along with your word replaceable. Right tackles, by definition, are pretty replaceable. Now, one thing that I think your listeners would be curious about, and we'd be remiss, Lee, if we didn't mention this, towards the end of last season, when the Bucks were in free fall and Dotson had recovered from that injury in the preseason opener, fully recovered, according to him. There was a sort of a rift between him and Lovie Smith for about a week or two because he claimed, Steve, that he was told that he would start the next game, and he did not. He got in for some series. He spelled Gosder Cyrillus. And then we talked to him, you know, the following week, and he was pretty upset. Lovie said he misinterpreted my remarks. I never said he would start. I said he would play. So here we are. He's come a long way. Now, of course, Lovie Smith's not here anymore, Steve. We don't know what the truth of that situation is. Dotson could have misinterpreted Lovie's remarks because he wanted so much to hear that he was going to start.
Could have.
But here we are in August, and Lovie's gone, and he's here to stay.
Well, here's one for you. The Lovie apologist, one of our commenters, refers to him as the Lovie Mafia. The majority of them reside in Bristol, Connecticut, I might add. They said all the players, they hated to see Lovie Smith go. I could tell you just as many players were thankful Lovie Smith went as many as were who publicly said, oh, my gosh, Lovie's gone. We've had Steve and I on our Twitter account. We had players direct messaging us, and we'll never mention their names publicly, like basically saying Lovie has no idea. Nobody knows what Lovie wants. Last year, Austin Seferian Jenkins, Lovie threw this guy under the bus. Week after week after week, oh, he's practicing full availability when he never got a doctor's clearance. And, you know, when people, fans in specific terms, are, I'll go ahead and say it because this is a podcast, so we're not under the boot of the FCC. When fans rag on Austin Seferian Jenkins for being lazy or yellow or what have you, He it wasn't his choice. Lovie goes out and says, hey, you know, this guy's available for practicing, full go, and the doctors never cleared him. That's throwing a player under the bus. So Lovie, despite what the four-letter and their operatives want you to believe, Lovie was not as beloved here as some think.
One more point on Dotson I want to make quickly, Steve. Now, look, I'm in love with him as a locker room presence, but having said that, and I've called him a solid player, and I'm not going to back off that. Steve? There is a penalty problem on this team as a group, and he is certainly front and center. He's been committing too many penalties, especially as a veteran. This is not Ali Marpet still learning the position. So I want to throw that out right now to Dotson. You've got to cut down on those infractions.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's fair, and it's just a little bizarre, Ira. You've got a guy who turns 31 in October, and you had him on the cheap this year.
Best days could be behind him.
Best days might be behind him, but nobody's going to confuse him with a Pro Bowl right tackle. And, of course, look, he talked to Monday. Dotson did about having fresher legs because he got a late start in football and he hasn't played a ton of games and all that. But it's a little bit just odd. And we're rooting for the guy. I don't know if this speaks to the future of Gosder Cyrillus at all because he's supposed to earn $4 or $5 million this year. Maybe they keep him. Maybe they don't. Maybe it speaks to how much Jason Light is looking already toward next year's draft and wanting to lock up a position that he doesn't have to tinker with either in the draft or free agency. I don't know.
Don't forget about the input of Dirk Koetter here, gentlemen.
Sure. It's big.
Now, Koetter has been talking up Dotson. We took that with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. We didn't realize that it was the precursor to this extension. But obviously, he has earned the respect of Dirk Koetter, who saw him a brief period of time last year. Let's be honest.
Yeah, timing is just a little bit interesting, especially since we got two preseason games to go for the starters. He could get hurt. I mean, they could have done this a little bit later.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, hey, wish him the best. He's certainly a good football player, a valuable member of the team. Jason Light called him a cornerstone of the franchise. That's stretching it a bit. But we'll take it.
Maybe it's another indication of showing the other guys that if you play well, there's a place for you here long.
There probably isn't. We don't know the details of the contract, what's guaranteed and what.
Jeez, give the guy a Rolex. Don't give him $6 million.
Hey. Steve, you're watching the Glazers' purse strings. I like it.
Well, those purse strings, they matter in the scope of the team, although they don't necessarily, as Lee has said millions of times, they don't translate to victories, how much money you spend, but it matters to how you build the team.
I will say this real quick, since Steve invoked Cyrillus here. I was told by someone who would know this summer that Cyrillus, without anyone telling him to, took Donovan Smith aside, basically became his big brother, was like a second offensive line coach on his team working specifically with Donovan Smith. And that's not to say, you know, a lot of people said that was Logan Mankins. Logan Mankins helped out Smith, there's no question. But from what I was told, I mean, Chehalis was like his big brother. Everything, I mean, he just attached himself to Smith and made sure Smith was going to be the best he could be as a rookie. And so given that information, I think Chehalis survives. They may rework his contract or something. Who knows?
It's not bad to have him as your swing reserve. Oh,
it's great. I don't mind spending the money. I just wonder if that's going to be a factor here. But hey, I hope he stays. I mean, why would you want to get rid of Gaster Chehalis? Makes no sense. Now, Ira, staying on the offensive line, J.R. Sweezy is an issue around here. Speaking of money, maybe strangely spent. So I'd like to get your take on that, and of course your column yesterday on George Warhop. You know, you have anything you want to add to that?
The first thing I think of in terms of the Sweezy situation is Jason Light doesn't need this. No. He doesn't need this on that free agent resume. Now, look, he hasn't gone 0-15. He hasn't, to be fair. Clint McDonald, you know, there's been some good ones. He's not going to make a Pro Bowl, Clint McDonald, but he's a glue guy, Steve. I think we all agree.
Holly and Chehalis, a couple of other examples.
Yeah, yes. I mean, he's not 0-15, but when you go back, you know, to the Anthony Collinses of the world, the Michael Johnsons, and now Sweezy, should they have known about his physical condition more? It brings up questions. Mm-hmm. It generates questions from the fan base, Steve, and more importantly, from the guys that are running this organization.
Guys cutting the checks, yeah.
They're cutting the checks. Now,
so now you're watching their money. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we all have to, Steve, because it falls back to, you know, on everything they do around here at One Bucket. It could affect having an indoor facility next year. They might say, yeah, we don't have the cash, gentlemen.
Or can't break ground yet.
Or the quality of the chicken we're waiting for in the media room.
What this does, Lee, in practical terms, is it forces Pamphile on a stage that he might not be ready for.
True.
You know, Sweezy was brought here to play. Mm-hmm. You know, pedigree from a team that was very successful, obviously played in big games.
Seahawks, yep.
A veteran mm-hmm. to take a spot mm-hmm. of a departed veteran mm-hmm. Next to Donovan Smith. Now you got Pamphile next to Donovan Smith. That's a lot of inexperience,
sure.
Steven, on the left side of an offensive line of a second-year quarterback. Mm-hmm. So you add it all up. Who knows Sweezy's future right now, Steve? We're not mind readers. We don't know what's going on with this guy.
Exactly.
The information we're getting is kind of sketchy. So I think there is reasonable reason for concern.
Absolutely. And I pointed this out in a story I wrote over the weekend about Sweezy. Dirk Cutter had no issue talking about Brandon Myers' injury. None. He was very open about it. Sweezy, he was asked about Sweezy. He clammed up like that the day after the press conference, Friday afternoon. Absolutely clammed up. That, to me, you know, I'm reading between the lines, of course. That doesn't sound too good.
Sounds like Jeff Tedford all over again here, my man.
Sort of.
I don't wish that on anybody.
Now, I will say this about the Bucs fans. Bucs fans are going nuts. They seem to believe that Jason Light and the team doctors never gave Sweezy a physical. First off, we don't know that. Second off, that sounds outrageous.
It sounds implausible.
Yeah, it sounds outrageously irresponsible not to do that. When you're signed to any free, I don't care, lineman, running back, you name it, not to give a guy a physical. Now, what we don't know, and Steve, you can speak to this, what we don't know is maybe the doctors said, well, you know, there's some things that are popping up here, but, you know, we think he can overcome them. Of course, this is pure speculation, but Steve, why don't you talk about that? You brought that up earlier.
Well, just very, very simply, you know, every contract is pending a physical, but teams ignore things in physicals all the time, or everybody's interpretation is different. And good luck finding a veteran offensive lineman who isn't having an issue somewhere
right.
with a worn-out back or a knee issue. Or Logan Mankins came here on one leg, notoriously.
But they can still play.
Right, exactly. So who knows? I mean, we haven't seen him. That really says it all. Lastly, Ira, Warhop, as we continue here on your fantastic podcast brought to you by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Check out their summer sales event on their websites. You can access it right now on joebucksfan.com. Anything you want to add on Warhop? You're offering
this. Yes, I do. Let's stick with this Cadillac theme here for a second, gentlemen. Now, look, Cadillacs are beautiful from the outside, beautiful from the inside. But, Steve, what's the real integral part? It's the engine. And in football terms, your offensive line drives the train. And they did a marvelous job in 2015. Let's all be honest. You know, I wasn't kidding when I started that column off saying, I said to Warhop, look at those fans over there. They're waiting for autographs. You see those people, George? They wanted to run your butt right out of town a year ago. And he knew what I was talking about because it was true. And from a media perspective, we were brutal on Warhop. And, you know,
he deserved it.
He deserved a lot of it.
We weren't brutal. If he's the engine, man, he was missing four spark plugs.
Because the three of us sat in press boxes week after week, and your readers and listeners to the podcast watched Buck games week after week.
Ira, that's our readers.
Our readers. And we saw Martin and Sims have no chance, basically have no chance. Guys were knifing into that backfield. You know, I dare say Martin kept making the first guy miss, and there's the second guy. He never got started, Steve. He could never build up any momentum. It was a disaster. And that's not to mention the pass protection, which was nil. You know, and so we all blamed Warhop. And we didn't know at the time that how bad Collins was. And I mentioned it in the column, and I'm going to throw it out there again. He can't find a job in the National Football
League. I don't think he wants a job.
He's still out there, Steve. Nobody wants him.
I don't think he wants one.
Yeah, I don't think he wants one. He's content with doing something that I can't say.
This was your starting left tackle.
Hey, give me $6 million. I might not want a job either, but I get it.
I understand that he likes to do things that make you have a craving for Doritos, and I won't go any farther. Now, here's the one for you about your blocking and Warhop. I was told by someone who would know within these walls who were broadcasting this podcast from One Buck Palace that Dirk Koetter, one of his traits is he really understands offensive line blocking schemes, line calls, things of that nature. A lot of offensive coordinators, they can draw up a pretty play on the whiteboard, but they don't understand offensive line that well.
And he Koetter, masks their weaknesses.
Yeah, Koetter does.
He's good at it.
Koetter does. So, you know, let's remember who the Bucs had for an offensive coordinator before Koetter came here. It was misplaced, ill-suited Marcus Arroyo.
Understood. But so, still, Warhop did get the job done with two rookie starters. You got to give
and that. Two guys off the street.
Great job.
And two guys off the street.
Two guys off the street.
And now they've set a standard, Steve. Going into 2016, expectations are high for this line.
Yeah, and especially as much as these guys talk about continuity, well, they have it now. So they're not building it. They have it. And Sweezy's not even going to play for quite a while.
And you would think Smith and Marpet will be better in year two.
You would hope so.
Well, if the engine, Mr. Warhop's doing a good job, sure. And they should be, and they have that continuity. And, of course, it helps to have a quarterback who, you know, he's still the leader out there. And to have him coming back. So they can't take a step back on that offensive line. If so, they're looking at, in my opinion, a 5-win season. If that line takes a step backwards.
Yes. And in terms of the run game, Lee, I'm sure you agree with me. If they take a step back, it's going to have a major impact on Jameis Winston's effectiveness because that play action was very strong last year because defenses had to honor the run. If you don't have that, it's really going to mess up this offense.
You become one-dimensional.
All right, Ira, it's been fun. Another Ira Kaufman podcast, and we will see you on Thursday.
Thank you. I enjoyed it, my man.
You've been listening to the Ira Kaufman podcast on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.